It is good to be able to stand before you. Very surprised this morning. It was not planned this way, but the bulletin this morning says, I am the light of the world. This goes along with what I'm wanting to speak on this morning, what I'm going to speak on, influence, example. Influence is something that we all have. What we do, how we do it, has an influence. We influence one another with our words and with our actions. Our influence is either positive for Christ or it's a negative influence for Christ. There is no doubt that Jesus Christ should have the greatest influence in our lives. It is because of his love for us, the blessings that we have in him and through him. For in him is our hope, our salvation, our peace, the forgiveness of sins. It is for these reasons that we're actually here this morning, to worship him in spirit and truth as our Lord and Savior. Jesus was explaining to his disciples that he was the image of God in John, the 14th chapter, verses 7 through 11. For it says, if you have known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I not so long been with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Jesus said in John 9:5, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus also said, Jesus is the light of the world by showing us the Father in himself and showing us the way and providing the way back to the Father. Jesus is the perfect light. And we are to be like Jesus. We are to be lights. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, in verses 13 through 20, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. You are the salt of the earth, but the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and be trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Also in Luke, the 11th chapter, verse 33-36, Jesus says, no one after lighting a lamp puts it away in a cellar, nor under a basket, but on a lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light. The eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is clear, your whole body also is full of light. But when it is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Then watch out that the light in you is not darkness. If therefore your whole body is full of light, with no dark part in it, it will be wholly illuminated, as when the lamp illuminates you with its rays. Paul encourages the Philippians in Philippians, the 2nd chapter, in verses 14 through 16. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, and in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. When we hold fast the word of life, we are lights. One way we teach is by example. And when we are living the life Jesus would have us to live, we are being lights to the world and to one another. At times, being a good example speaks louder than words. We are to be lights in the way we clothe ourselves. Knowing human nature and our desires, we want to dress in a way that shows godliness and not in a way that says, lust after me. Jesus said in Matthew 5th chapter in verses 27 and 28, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. This applies to both sexes. A male or a female can lust. That is not good. We are being lights when we dress godly. We are to be lights in the way we give. In giving, we have an example of Dorcas or Tabitha. In Acts 9 chapter in verses 36 through 39. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. And it happened at that time that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they had laid it in an upper room. Since Lydia was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, imploring him, do not delay in coming to us. So Peter arose and went with them. And when he arrived, they brought him into the upper room. And all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. Also in Acts 4th chapter in verses 32 and 34, we see an example of the early church. And the congregation to those who believed were of one heart and one soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonged to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power, his apostles were given testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds to the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as they had need. Now Joseph, a Levite, a Cyprian birth, was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. In Ephesus, there were some that stole to get by. Paul told them in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in verse 28, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with who has need. A thief is not a light. A thief will not be in heaven. 1 Corinthians 6, chapter, verse 10. We are to work, and we are to share. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, in verses 1 through 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed to the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each of you must put aside and save as he has prospered, so that no collection be made when I come. At this time, they were trying to fulfill a need that was in Jerusalem. In 1 Timothy 6, chapter 6, verses 17 through 19, Paul tells Timothy, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves a treasure of good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. There are many lights here that are generous with their time, with their energy, with their possessions, and with their finances. We are to be lights as parents. First and foremost, we are to have a lawful marriage in the sight of God, for this shows our respect for God's authority. If our children do not see us showing respect for God's authority, why should they? Children watch us. Even at an early age, children observe and understand a lot of our actions. Other people see us, see how we treat our children and our families. Proverbs 6:26 tells us to train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And in Ephesians 6, 4th chapter, 4th verse, Paul cautions the fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. We are to teach our children to become lights. We are to be lights in our family relations. Taking care of our own is being a light. We are told in 1 Timothy 5th chapter and verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And spouses, if you have an unbelieving spouse, you may save them. 1 Peter 3rd chapter and verses 1 and 2, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. And Paul goes into a little more detail of this in 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, and verses 12 through 16. He says, but to the rest I say, not I, but to the rest, I say, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever, and she consents to live with him, he must not divorce her. And a woman who has an unbelieving husband, and he consents to live with her, she must not send her husband away. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children are unclean. But now they are holy. Yet if the unbelieving one leaves, let him leave. The brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? Example of this is, we used to have a member here, Morris Bradford. Morris was a devout Christian. His wife was a devout member of the denomination. His wife would do things to prevent Morris from attending services. And after many years of Morris's influence, his wife obeyed the gospel. Paul instructs husbands in Ephesians 5th, 25th chapter, verses 25 through 33. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present himself, the church, in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, Each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself. And the wife must see that she respects her husband. And then Paul also instructs the husbands some more in Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Paul instructs the wives even more, a little bit further in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verses 22 through 24. It says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church. He himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Older siblings, your younger siblings are watching you. I know, for I'm the youngest of four, and I thought I should and could do whatever they did. If possible, I tried. Siblings, younger or older, you have an influence on the others." Paul instructs the children in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Others see our behavior toward our family. May they see godliness. Godly parents, grandparents, and aunts and uncles have a godly influence in the family. They're very valuable in bringing up the children. However, it is sad to say that there are too many families without godly love and respect for one another. Our speech should be a source of light. In Colossians 4th chapter and verses 5 through 6, Paul tells us to conduct ourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity, to let our speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. We are lights and are forgiving. We are to be a forgiving people. However, forgiving can be one of the hardest things to do. Paul tells the Ephesians in the fourth chapter, verses 30 through 32, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also forgiven you." None of us has had anything done to us or a loved one that was worse than what was done to Jesus. Even when Jesus was being crucified on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. In Mark the 11th chapter, verses 25 and 26, Jesus tells us, "Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions." And Paul states in Colossians 3rd chapter, verses 12 through 13, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you." Some people know about our conflicts, the conflicts with others, and they see how we handle them. Again, let us be lights. You are lights being at services. There are some here that feel bad, Some have severe health issues. Some have been up all night. They could easily stay home, yet they're here. They're here because they want to worship and glorify and serve God. They want to edify others and be edified. Some things we do may seem small and very incidental, but they're not. Jesus tells us in Matthew, the 10th chapter, in verse 42, whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say, he has not lose his reward. Giving someone a drink of water is not much, but it's not forgotten. It is God's word and put it into practice that has the desired influence. We may not see God's word working, or we may not see the desired influence that we want, but it will serve its purpose, his purpose. In Isaiah, the 11th chapter, in verse 10 and 11, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bare and sprout and furnishing seed for the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to be empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Whether we realize it or not, or whether we like it or not, we all have an influence. A lot of times, it is the small things we do that has the greatest influence. Again, we may never see the results of our influence. We may not even feel that we have an influence. But we have an influence. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, in verse 6, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. When we come together for Bible studies, for worship, you're being an encouragement and setting a good example, being a good influence. Also, just sending a text or an email, a card, a phone call, a visit, or a meal can have an impact. Everything we do at the building or away from the building has an influence. May that influence be to the glory of God. Give you another example. I mentioned this before in an invitation, but there is an update now. A Christian named Connie met a woman named Beverly for the first time at a funeral. Beverly was a worldly person. Connie later sent Beverly a card with her name and phone number in it. Beverly had noticed that Connie was different, kept the card. Years later, Beverly had some health issues and called Connie up. Beverly tells Connie that she was dying and was afraid. Connie asked her if she would like be willing to talk to someone about God. Beverly agreed. Connie lives in Indiana. Beverly lives in Atlanta. So Connie calls some people in Georgia. They meet with Beverly and arrange a Bible study with Beverly. Blake Edwards studied with her for about 9 months, and now she has obeyed the gospel. Who would have thought that a visit and a card would have led someone to the Lord? In conclusion, I would like to read Ephesians, the 5th chapter, starting in verses 1 through 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you, and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse gesturing, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of God. Dropping down to verses 15 through 21. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for this is dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. When we imitate God, we are being lights. People are watching. More importantly, God knows what we are doing. It is not if we fail, but when we fail to set a good example, we need to repent and ask the Lord to forgive us and strive to do better. The Lord is gracious to forgive us of our trespasses. In 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, verse 10, also in 1 John 9, 1. If you have not put on Christ, you are not a light of His, and you are lost in your sins, separated from God. If you want to be united with Christ and have your sins forgiven and be a light of His, or if you want the prayers of the saints here, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.